Do you ever wonder what's happening behind the scenes of the multi-trillion dollar fashion industry? In the new podcast, Fashion People, Puck correspondent and 20-year fashion veteran Lauren Sherman and a rotating cast of industry insiders discuss what fashion people are really talking about behind the scenes of the star-studded business, from creative director switcheroos to M&A drama, DTC downfalls, and Met Gala mishaps. Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, is available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, listeners. If you're hearing this, I'm going to assume you're at least interested in money and understanding the economy and finances. And some of us want our kids to have that knowledge, too. Check out Million Bazillion, Marketplace's award-winning kids podcast that breaks down money to help dollars make more sense. A whole new season is out now. Million Bazillion is presented in partnership with Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Greenlight helps kids and teens learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. You can learn more at greenlight.com/million. And tune in to Million Bazillion wherever you find your favorite podcast.
I know better.
Yeah.
Never update iOS until there's a point one.
Yep. Yep. Although I will say I did up. Oh, Brian, God, we were still kibitzing.
So you're just right on time and we're still complaining about Apple?
Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. I wonder how much of that little jet they're going to put on the header to this podcast because there was some stuff going on. Anyway, you know the drill. You know what we do in this podcast. So here we are.
That's right. You know what we do. We just resume a conversation already in progress. I am Molly Wood. Thanks for joining us. It is Hollowed Out Shell Thursday, which means the news fix might be a little dark placey, but I at least have two links in Make Me Smile, and I'm having a Thursday Batanga, so I feel confident that we're going to end strong, even though
I should tell
I've
you that,
mostly just been filled with rage today.
A little bit of rage. The slurping sound you just heard was me having a cup of coffee because I'm having, this is the second day in a row of like a 3:30 in the afternoon crash. Molly, on the other hand, is, if you hear ice in a tumbler, that's Molly with her Batanga. Just so you've got,
I just cannot
differentiate it
today.
Also, literally, this is a very sound-rich version of the podcast today, too. So
it is, actually. This is very on point for today's show. It, among other things today, I had to nuke my password manager, which means that I am now going to have to change every password on every website that I ever use. Well, when I had to reset my phone because my phone has decided that it doesn't text my boyfriend or my brother anymore. Everybody else is fine, just not them. Then I was logged out of my password manager. And of course, I couldn't remember the master password. And then all of the methods that they have to recover your account, which do exist, none of them work. It would be like, oh, this won't work because your browser doesn't have the extension installed. Even though it does. It has the extension installed.
There's a case
to
be made.
It was one of those days.
You should have just cut your brother and your boyfriend loose and said, sorry, you're out of my life now. Because
I mean, I couldn't take it as a sign. I know. Had I known that both of them were going to be such pains in the tuchus, I might have. I might have.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
But I'm changing my bank password with 9-factor authentication. I'm going to be like, you know what? It's not worth it. It's not worth it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hollowed out shell.
All right. Go. You go. Go, go, go.
Okay. What I am very interested to see, and this is actually a story from, I think, yesterday. Last week, but I've just been holding on to it, is that the House Oversight Committee has widened its inquiry, this was in the New York Times, into the oil and gas industry's role in spreading disinformation about the role of fossil fuels in causing global warming. And so these big companies, ranging from ExxonMobil to Chevron, BP, Royal Dutch Shell, and lobbying groups, the American Petroleum Institute and the United States Chamber of Commerce, ironically, have all been asked to testify before Congress next month to answer to these questions about whether the industry has been deliberately, I think they're probably going to focus on recent years, but we could probably argue all the way back to the 70s, whether this industry has deliberately undermined the scientific consensus around human-caused global warming and that the burning of fossil fuels, that the emission of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere is what causes that warming. And that, I think, for lots of folks, is going to be must-see TV.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's going to be like when they had the tobacco CEOs up there and they went down in a line and just sort of boom, 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 boom. They all basically said, yes, we know we kill people. And it's going to have to be the same thing, you know?
I mean, it really is. And I think it's going to be fascinating. And I hope a game changer as we're headed into, you know, COP26 and this huge meeting where the global community is going to decide whether we get it together and say, look, I get it. You made a lot of money doing this. You cannot keep making money the same way, or we're all going to cook.
Yeah.
So to hear, you know, them answer to this question of how much they knew and when they knew it and what they did to sort of try to convince us otherwise, I think is going to be very compelling.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. Totally agree.
Yep.
You have one more, or is that it?
I was kind of curious. This is sort of, I'll do this one. I guess. I don't know. Nothing but time. I got a Batanga. I'm settled in for the long run.
We had a meeting about this today. How we have to watch ourselves. Bridget wanted to put a timer on us, for crying out loud.
I know. I just thought this was really interesting, and I think it should be an investigation or a marketplace story. Because today this guy's TikTok went viral. Right? Which is not necessarily news, but this guy's TikTok went viral starting about the 16th, the same day that New York Times piece was published, actually, where it's a former real estate agent speculating, certainly, on how these major house listing companies, primarily Zillow and Redfin, conduct themselves in the marketplace and whether they may be manipulating the market a little bit. And I have to do this one because I asked Marissa and Bridget to pull a little sound.
And everybody goes on there and searches for houses when they're bored and stuff. And so that company, they just sit back and they just collect all the data. They just know what zip code is looking at what zip code and how much those people can afford. Everyone's looking at this one zip code. Everybody seems to be able to afford this certain amount. And let's say that billion-dollar company uses that information to go into that zip code and start purchasing houses.
So then,
it's all about the data, yo. Yeah.
I know. And then, but he goes on, and this is where it veered into the sort of speculative territory that caused the CEO of Redfin, Glenn Kelman, and Zillow to immediately get on Twitter and be like, no. Because what he's suggesting is that they use this data not just to buy houses, which they do. We know that these companies buy houses and then they actually do lending. They've got a whole vertically integrated business based on the existing housing market. And then he was suggesting that there are cases where they may deliberately overpay for houses to sort of drive up the comps. Yeah. And that's the part where, and mainly it was remarkable that immediately these companies are like, no. We would never intentionally underpay or overpay for a home.
Yeah.
This is a total conspiracy, like not happening. Yeah. And everybody else is like, I don't know. Our houses went for way more than listing. I mean, look, you have companies in the business of selling houses who are also in the business of buying houses and giving loans for those houses and then also like sitting as the brokerage in between those purchases and sales. And even if TikTok is not the place to raise that issue necessarily, it seems like it's worth looking into.
Yeah, totally. The beauty of social media is that any issue can be raised anywhere and it catches on and people pay attention. And that's a good example for sure.
I know. Oh, yeah, this hit like wildfire.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay, mine. Following on to your first one on climate disinformation, this article in the Washington Post today about summer's getting longer and winter's getting shorter, I just want to read you this one sentence about how if we don't do something, we're screwed. Under the current business-as-usual scenario, projections show summer could last 6 months by 2100, the end of the century. Winter would be less than 2 months.
Oof.
Think about that for a minute.
Wow.
6 months of actual hot summer, 2 months of winter by 80 years from now, right?
Yeah.
Like.
And if you're sitting there thinking, yay, I don't have to shovel, just remember that all the moisture happens in the winter.
That is the wrong answer. Yeah,
wrong answer.
Whew, geez. Oh, my goodness gracious. So that's one, right? Just in keeping with the climate theme of a lot of our discussions of late. The other one is just a little bit of process out of Washington, D.C., where listeners to Marketplace will know that we're about this close to defaulting on our debt because congressional Republicans don't want to have anything to do with the traditionally bipartisan maneuver of raising the debt limit. Don't get me started on the artificiality of the debt limit. But it's interesting because Nancy Pelosi said today she called the vote on the debt limit a tradition, which it kind of is, but she also said there is some doubt as to whether that should be the case, which is to say, should we even have a debt limit? And now I think there might be a discussion about maybe if the Dems are going to raise it unilaterally because Mitch McConnell is going to make them, should they just get rid of it, which they can do unilaterally, right? They can do it through reconciliation in with 51 votes in the Senate, maybe, and they can do it in the House. So I'm just thinking that's on the table. Because what's going to happen over the next month is that interest rates are going to go up, stock market's going to wobble, and for as long as this goes on, with McConnell saying no, we're not going to do it, it's going to get worse and worse. Mark my words. So that's what's that's my pay attention to this thing. Just kidding. It's dorky, I know, but it's relevant.
No, it's super dishy.
Relevant because, look, to our interests.
Yeah, tradition does not have to. You know, breaking tradition can go both ways, let's just say.
Yes.
Breaking norms.
For sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. All right.
Okay.
Let us move into the happy place phase of this. Got it?
I'm not even that mad.
All right. You go.
I love Brandi Carlile. I love her. Singer-songwriter. So amazing. Absolutely wonderful. She had just this, like, breakthrough. I mean, I've been listening to her for years. Lots of people have, but she had this breakthrough moment at the Grammys, I think maybe 2 years ago, with this song called The Joke, where she performed it live. And you could tell that at first, because, you know, she's sort of like folksy singer-songwriter lady.
Sure.
And you could tell that at first people in the audience were like, eh, I don't know where she's going with this. But her voice is so insane. I'm going to send the video to our Slack team so that we can put it on the show page because it's like the greatest performance. And by the end of it, she's getting a standing ovation because her voice is bananas incredible. That whole crowd is on their feet like, well, I did not see that coming. She's amazing.
That's
anyway,
cool.
She tweeted yesterday that she gets to be on Saturday Night Live and perform for the first time. And it's going to be with Jason Sudeikis. Ted Lasso.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
I basically am just all of my interests are going to be hit on this one show. I can't wait.
That is fun.
And I'm just so excited for her. She's like one of those overnight sensations that's been 25 years in the making.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just, I'm thrilled. It made me smile.
That's awesome. That's really cool.
Yep.
That is really
cool.
It's
going to be a great show.
That is really cool.
October 23rd. You go, Brandi Carlile.
Molly's very excited. Molly's very excited.
I just am.
all right. So. Mine is once again, a little dorky, a little wonky, but this week has been the U.N. General Assembly in New York, and world leaders come, they give speeches, Biden did, and, you know, everybody comes and yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. The Prime Minister of Great Britain, Boris Johnson, gave a speech talking about climate change, as we have been on this podcast for a while now, and he said this.
And when Kermit the Frog sang... It's not easy being green.
Oh, gosh.
Do you remember that one?
Oh, dear.
I want you to know that he was wrong. He was wrong. It is easy. It's not only easy, it's lucrative, and it's right to be green. Although he was also unnecessarily rude to Miss Piggy, I thought, Kermit the Frog.
That's the Queen's Prime Minister talking about Kermit and Miss Piggy. Boris Johnson also, later that day, took a train down to Washington for a bilat with Joe Biden. And he swung by the Congress to talk to some people. And standing outside the Congress of the United States, he was asked about that U.S.-UK-Australia submarine deal that has the French all irritated. And he said, I think our friends in Europe ought to prenez un grip, donnez-moi un break.
It was not hilarious.
No, I love to watch him. I'm really glad he's not in charge of my country. That's all. That's what I'm saying.
Both of those things are equally true.
Yes.
Yep. I know. I did see that. Totally. Donnez-moi un break. I will admit.
Prenez un grip.
Yeah. Laugh out loud.
All right, there we go.
It's easy and lucrative. Oh, yeah, my goodness. All right, we're going to try a new thing. Today was one of the days, actually, where I barely had a Make Me Smile. It was like at the last minute, and thank goodness I'd had this Brandi Carlile tweet open since yesterday. So we thought maybe sometimes you guys could help us out so we could cheer each other up. If you see a thing that you would like to use on Make Me Smile, and actually, you already do this, which is at least half of how the idea came from. If you'd like to share something that made you smile, you want to nominate a candidate for Make Me Smile, please feel free to send it to us. Even in voicemail or voice memo form, obviously we'll accept emails and tweets as well. MakeMeSmart@marketplace.org is our email address, or you can call us 508-827-6278, 508-UBSMART.
And with that, we are on our merry way. Back tomorrow for Economics on Tap, the YouTube live stream. We'll do Discord as well, 3:30 West Coast, 6:30 East Coast. And if you don't want to miss a show, by the by, be sure to smash that subscribe button on the platform of your choice so you can get straight new episodes straight into your feed and your brain. Because that's the way we like to do it around here. Mainline.
We do. While you're at it, feel free, please, to subscribe to the brand new How We Survive feed.
Oh, yeah.
Get it all warmed up for that first episode coming up to October 6th.
Are we not putting that in other people's feeds too, like the Marketplace feed and the this feed? Are we not doing that?
I don't know. I'll call someone.
If only
after
people who
are
in charge of that were listening to this. Sorry.
Well, you tell us, audience. Would you be mad if you got that episode in your Make Me Smart feed? Let us know.
Yeah, I think that's overrated. I think that whole people being mad that something shows up in their feed when it's like the brand
they're allowed
is just
to skip it.
Yeah. Anyway, we got the short music today. Make Me Smart, produced by Marissa Caprera. Today's episode engineered by Brian Allison. Tony Wagner is writing our newsletters.
Oh, no. Bridget Binder is senior producer, and she's mad at us. And the executive director, Vonda Mazzatarni.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.